Rabbi Yisrael, let's begin. This week's Parshas Acharei Mos. This week, as you all know, is Shabbos. It's Shabbos HaGadol. It's also in the Parsha is all about the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim, which the Torah calls Shabbos Shabboson Yilochem. So it's interesting that Shabbos Shabboson is meeting up with Shabbos HaGadol. Two special Shabbosos come together, and the Shabbos Shabboson gives over the Haftorah to the Shabbos HaGadol. Very generous. The Shabbos Shabboson is giving over the Haftorah to the Shabbos HaGadol. This is Derech HaGdama. I don't have any var just to point out. I just was looking through the Sefer Minog Yisrael Torah by Rabbi Lowy, Zechet Tzadik Levrach. He was Nifter only, I think, 30 days ago. Not even 30 days. And a very young person. And he mentions there some very interesting minhagim concerning Shabbos HaGadol. Just nothing. I don't have any Jewish, but just I never heard of these minhagim. There is, appears to be an ancient minhag that at the seder you're supposed to say the small piece of the afikoyim, a zeicher for the chavivas of the seder. A person will look. Some like the Kabbalah may tell you that's a skula. We're not into skulas, but simple. It's a chavivas. The seder is a very special time when you spend with your family, and you take a little piece of the afikoyim and you put it away, keep it in your pocket or whatever. You keep it somewhere safe in the house, and when you look at it, you're reminded of that wonderful event when you sat with your family and you instilled in them emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it used to be the minig in ancient times before there was something called germs and there was bacteria, and we were super sensitive to matters of hygiene, where you would take that little piece of afikoman that you put away from last year, and it would be eaten as part of a dish on Shabbos HaGadol. Shabbos HaGadol, in other words, to connect. Beautiful minhag. To connect. Shabbos HaGadol is the beginning of the coming Seder. In fact, minhag is also that to say the Haggadah after Mincha. Many people say the Haggadah on Shabbos HaGadol after Mincha until the Chaper Al Chatos Seichem, until a certain part of the Haggadah. Shabbos morning to tie together, to connect last year's Seder to this year's Seder. It's an ongoing cycle, is to eat the Afikoman from the previous year. Interesting minhag. There's another minhagi site in Frankfurt. There was a hakpada to save some of the mishloach manos from Purim and eat the mishloach manos on Shabbos HaGadol. Seemingly, the reason is because mishloach manos represents achdus. Mishloach manos ish l'riyahu. By sending your friend a gift, you become partners, you become friends with one another. And the purpose of Shabbos HaGadol was the day when everyone in Klal Yisrael took a Korban Pesach, took a seh, and the seh is a chabura. It's a group, chavura, where the group comes together. You have to be part of a group. The concept of taking the seh, Shabbos HaGadol, why was it? It was the nes. The nes, they took the deity of Mitzrayim, and they tied water, they tied it to their beds. Bring the taking of a Korban Pesach of a seh is where you have to join a group. You have to become partners you have to sign up. If you don't sign up for Korban Pesach, you can't, it's too late. What is Mishloach Manos? Exactly the same concept of coming together. Purim is 30 days before Pesach. Shalom v'darshim b'yonu shal yoyim k'od mechag shoshim yoyim. And Mishloach Manos is the concept of Chabura. Taking of the Korban Pesach, which is commemorated on Shabbos HaGadol, is the concept of Mishloach Manos. So the minhag was to be mitzvah of these two things together and to combine Mishloach Manos. Today, people say, oh, we have to get leftovers. I got to get leftovers. But we live in a generation today where most people by this time already, they're all ready kosher Pesach. So, adrava, it would be quite a challenge today for your wife to let you eat some chumstick leftovers from Mishloach Manos on Shabbos HaGadol. It's a very interesting minute. Okay, let's go to Segula, what?
To keep the
Afikoyim, the Segula.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
but you're supposed to.
Six years.
Yeah. Okay, very interesting. Okay, let's go. Okay, let's go to a new idea. Following idea, I saw the Sefer quoted in the name of the Chidah. In the name of the Chidah, I don't have the pasuk in front of me. I lost one part of my notes, but the only reason why this Vard even triggered an interest. Most of the time I go through a sefer, look at a var, it doesn't even, I don't understand most things that I see, it doesn't even ring a bell. But this triggered my interest because it's about Eyov. And it says in the Medrash, it's a Medrash, that when Eiv, if he read Parshas Achrimos, assuming Eiv lived at a later point in time, and it said, Achrimos Shnei Bnei Aharon, because some of Nei Hashem Vayimusu, and he saw that the two children of Aaron died when they offered the Eish Zorah Lefnei Hashem, he was frightened. He was terrified. And there's a pasuk in Eiv later on where actually, I don't have the pasuk in front of me, that it's quoted, when he heard about this, he was terrified. So it seems a lot of the Darshanim, they focus on this Medrash, and maybe it's a good Medrash Rab, it could be it's Medrash Rab, beginning of Parshat Achrimos, and they explain why was he afraid? What was the big deal? So the Chidah has a fascinating answer, and it totally changes the way I understood a Medrash, so a Chazal. We know that when Paro was thinking about the idea of enslaving the Jewish people, he called in his top advisors. Right. Who were his top advisors? Bilam, Eiv, and Yisra. And he presented them with the idea of enslaving the Jewish people. Bilam said it's a great idea. And for that, Bilam was punished. Ultimately was punished severely. Yisro rejected. Yisro says this is terrible, this is genocide. Don't do this. And he fled. And because he fled, he was zocher that he had an edim, Moshe Rabbeinu, and he became a celebrity among Klal Yisrael, Chosein Moshe. He became part of Klal Yisrael and he had very great reward. His children were all Talmidei Chachamim. Then there was one person that was in the middle, Eiv. Eiv was silent. Eiv, he didn't say, he didn't complain, he didn't object, didn't protest. So what was his reward? It wasn't a reward, he was punished that he suffered the Surei Eiv. The whole Sefer Eiv that we're learning, according to this Chazal, is the result for Eiv being silent and not rejecting and not complaining, protesting against the plan of Paro. This is why, because of the world. So what's the explanation? Because when a person, even if he couldn't do anything about it, he should have objected, he should have complained. When a person is in pain, that's what we're discussing, when your person is in pain, it's only natural for him to cry. What does the crying accomplish? Nothing. Doesn't accomplish anything, but at least it's a natural reaction. Eiv did not express express what is natural to hear. Such a horrible thing that's going to be done to Klal Yisrael, to at least complain and say it's not the proper thing. Therefore, me, the Kneged Mida, you did not cry out, even though there's nothing you could have done to protest what Paro was going to do. So, me, the Kneged Mida, so therefore you're going to suffer. What? It doesn't say that. But that's what the Medrash says. So the question is, but it took 70 years until Eiv actually suffered the Yisuri Eiv. So why does that relate to Nadav V'Aviv? So the Chidah says as follows. I always assumed, why did Nadav V'Aviv die? I have a Sefer at home that presents 13 reasons. It collected a total of 13 reasons why they died. A Zara, they were not married, they didn't have children, the Moralacha Bifnei Rabo. On the list of 13 reasons is they were once walking behind Moshe the Aaron. Now this is the way I recall the Medrash from memory, okay, not that I've seen it inside. And they said, they, plural, both Nadav v'Aviv said, this is what I thought it said in the Medrash, when will these already Zakenim die? They're old school. And with the new hip generation, they don't even know what an iPhone is. We're from the new generation, and we'll take over, and we'll get the generation going. We'll lead in a much better, much more more successful way. That's a tremendous, tremendous chutzpah. Let's talk about that, about Moshe, the Aaron, and that's one of the reasons why they died. But the Chidah, when he quotes the Medrash, it's not what it says in the Medrash. Like, look up the Medrash. He says the Medrash, the only one that said this was Nadav. The one that presented this argument, when will these two Zakenim die and we will take over, it was said by Nadav. Who did Nadav say it to? He said it to Aviyu. Aviyu, who did, and Aviyu listened. He didn't object. So now comes the Parshas Achrimos, and Eiv was reading, he was in Cheder, they were teaching Achrimos, and he heard about these people, Nadav Aviyu, and when he knows that there's going to be a punishment for the terrible sin, the chutzpah, of waiting for Moshe Aaron to die, so who's going to die? Nadav's going to die. Aaron had four sons, Elazar, Yisam, and Nadav, and Avihu. So if someone's going to die, it's going to be Nadav, because Nadav was the one that had the chutzpah to say this. Elazar, Yisam, they were innocent, because they didn't even know. They didn't know what was going on. They were not part of this conversation. Avihu? Nah, Avihu will get off scot-free, because Avihu didn't say this. The worst thing Avihu did was he listened.
He was a tzaddik.
He listened, and he didn't object. So for not objecting, what's the big deal? But when Eev, the Chidah says, when Eev saw that Avihu died because he listened to the chutzpah, to the words of Nadav, and did not reply, did not object, did not protest, was silent, he also died. Now Eev was terrified, because he realized, I did the same thing. Paro said about Klal Yisrael, he's going to wipe them out, and I also sat there silent.
So why does he claim he didn't sin?
What?
Because why does he claim he didn't sin?
Okay, there are many levels of interpretation. There are many levels of interpretation. But it's a very frightening thing. It's a frightening thing that Eov only was disturbed not from Nadav, but was disturbed from the fact that Avihu was silent, and for his silence he suffered the same fate as Nadav. Eov realized that he was silent when Paro complained, when the plan presented his plan for Klal Yisrael, and he was silent, and therefore Eov realized, I'm going to suffer the same fate as Bilam. That's why he was afraid. So what's the Musar Haskel for us? The Musar Haskel for us is, when we witness something that is corrupt, it's not enough of an excuse just to say, it's none of my business. It's none of my business. Why should I get involved with it? It's not my business. A person, we learn from this story, Eev, Nadav, Avihu. We learn, in fact, Chazal said that every single year a person is mechuyev should cry over the death of Nadav, Avihu. When this parasha is laying on Yom Kippur, this is the kriyas of Yom Kippur. Chazal say, on Yom Kippur, a person should do his best to identify with Aaron and to cry over the death of these two children. And if he does so, there's very big suchusim for him to mourn over their death. All the Farshim asked the question, what do you mean? Mourning, they died. We never knew who these people were. They died thousands of years ago. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, Vayitmu Yimei B'chi Eivu Moshe. Moshe's mourning also came to an end. After 30 days, he stopped crying for a person. So we're supposed to cry for another Avihu thousands of years later? The answer is, there's more to it. Another Avihu committed sins, and those sins brought about their death. We have to identify with their sins. There were 13 sins. One of those sins was, one of the children spoke with the utmost chutzpah, and the other son listened and didn't object. And every person on their level, to some degree, is guilty of these two sins. We're guilty of speaking about people that we should have more respect for with chutzpah, and it's much easier to be guilty of hearing from others words of chutzpah and just saying to ourselves, it's none of our business. Yeah. Now, it's true.
Even
it is.
Because you're talking.
Are you running?
Well, he didn't follow in his father's footsteps.
What?
He didn't follow in Aaron's footsteps. Oyev
shalom v'roidev shalom. So this is a very powerful idea. It's not both. I think the average person here in this room, I'm assuming when you heard this chazal that they spoke, when will these Zakenim die? Assume both of them said it. No. Only Nadav said it. Avihu listened. His sin was not objecting. Just like Eev, he did not protest the plan of Paro to destroy Klal Yisrael. Eev was afraid. He saw what happened to Avihu. That's why he was afraid. And Allah has come, we have what to be afraid of when Rachmanot of Nichshol in participating in conversations which we know we should not be party to.
Also the person listening.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's exactly the point. The point is, a person can easily make a mistake and think that listening, I didn't say it, so it's not my problem. A person has an obligation to protest. Yeah, you know, now you have to be very careful. Obviously, in the Haggadah, just very quickly, in the Haggadah, we know the story. There is a what happened to Chad Gadya? This is a very famous story. Just to run around, the Chad Gadya. What happened to Chad Gadya? It was bitten by a cat, and then what? So who's guilty here? The Gadya is an innocent bystander. Who's the guilty person here? The cat's guilty. The cat's the guilty. What is the cat going and biting the Gadya? So what happens? The dog comes along and bites and eats up the cat. Bites the cat. So is the dog innocent or guilty? The dog is innocent. the dog is taking mishpat. The dog is taking the law into his own hands. The dog is taking exercising mishpat. Now go through the cycle. Now the one, the stick that's going to hit the dog, that's guilty because justice has been served. The dog has served justice, so the stick is now guilty. Go through the entire cycle. We can't go through it now. It will come out. The result will be when you follow the cycle. The Hakadosh Baruch Hu comes and he kills the Malach HaMavis. Rachman al Tzlan. It's apikorsus. Hashem is guilty. You go through the whole cycle. If the innocent bystander is the cat, and then the guilty party is the cat is the guilty, and the gedi is innocent, and you go through the whole cycle, then Hakadosh Baruch Hu comes out being guilty. So how can we have a peace that Hakadosh Baruch Hu is guilty?
Fight the cat because of justice, or just?
Oh. So that's, this is the famous Svar of Rav Nosson Adler. Rav Nosson Adler says the truth is the one that's guilty here is the dog, because it's none of the dog's business. It's none of the dog's business. Rav Nosson Adler, when he heard there were people speaking Lashon Hara about two different Achak Kosher V'Sameach, a good Yom Tov, a Rapport, Mr. Weiss, take all the best. I've not now. He heard two people say they were saying Lashon Hara about taking sides in the machlekes between the Rav Yonis and Eibeshitz and the Eivitz,
yeah.
Rav Yaakov Emdin and Rav Yonis and Eibeshitz. So he said, "What's it's none of your business? What are you taking? It's none of your business." So what do we learn from this story? We learn from this story is that sometimes it's right. It's talking none of your business. It is none of your business. On the other hand, Eov was afraid that it is your business. If something is wrong out in society, you have to speak up. Where do you draw the balance? That's the million-dollar question. That's a very difficult question, when it's proper to speak up, activism, and when you should just mind your own business. Just want to present, you have to balance.
And that's the point. Because although you established that you can sin through silence, ironically, Aaron was silent and was rewarded for it.
Well, Aaron was silent because of its sorrow. That's not, there was no Aveira. There was no Aveira. That's a different type of silence.
That's the flip side.
In the matter that you said, Eo ran away.
Eov didn't run away. Yisro ran away.
None of my business.
That was a protest. By running away, by Yisro running away, that was appears to be an expression of protest. He resigned. He resigned from the committee, from the board. If this is what you want to do, I don't want any part of this.
Did he say he was against it and then run away?
It appears so. From the way the Medrash,
afraid of repercussions.
From the way the Medrash interprets what happened to Yisro, it appears that Yisro did the right thing, and Yisro's running away was the ultimate form of protest. I don't want to have anything to do with your power. This is what you want to do? I'm out of here. That was a protest.
Oh, well, your protest sometimes it can end up getting killed.
Okay, that's right. So you have to know where to draw the balance. Sometimes it's none of your business. You have to stab. That's exactly what the Haggadah. It's none of the dog's business. This is between the Gedi and the cat. What is the dog stepping in and taking law into his own hands? On the other hand, when an aval is committed out there in the world, we see there is such a thing, Eov Yisro, you have to speak up. It's a tough question. You have to know how to make the right judgment call.
I'll take you as a step further. The Haggadah is basically the father telling the son.
Yeah.
The hate of Nadav and Abihu was that they spoke against their fathers.
Uh-huh.
Could have been halachically they were right, but you have a Messiah, so you don't fight the Messiah when you have a choice of yes or no. If we have halacha today, let's whatever halacha is. Some people are machmer on Pesach. I don't agree with it. Halacha may not be that way, but they have an ulismach. You know? But if someone comes in with a new chumra that they never had, I don't care how big a god he is. You have to come in. You know, my father, my grandfather never filtered their water. The same that you don't want to drink in my house, it doesn't work. You know, that's...
Okay.
I enjoy it.
Okay, let's go to another idea. We have the Parash of Arayos. At the end of Parash of Arayos, it says, this is a very beautiful idea from Rav Bik. Rav Bik, Zuchon Levracha, he says, Kemaase Eretz Mitzrayim, Asher Yeshavtem Bo Lo Yisasu, Kemaase Eretz Mitzrayim, Kemaase Eretz Kenan. The Torah gives two examples of abominations. Abominations that take place in the land of Mitzrayim, the beginning of Perek Yud Ches, right before the Parsha of Arayos, Kimas Eretz Mitzrayim, Asher Yishavtim Aloy Sasu, Chmatz Eretz Kinan, Asher Ani Meviyaschem Shem Aloy Sasu, Uvichu Gosem Lo Selech. Why does the Pasuk highlight these two nations? We're not allowed to follow the Chukos Amen, even what takes place in Bavel, what takes place in Asher, what takes place in America. Why is the Pasuk emphasizing Dafka Eretz Mitzrayim, the abominations of Mitzrayim, and the abominations of Eretz Canaan? What's the significance? So simply you'll answer is because these are the two places where the Jews lived. They lived for 210 years in Mitzrayim, so they were familiar with their culture, and now they're going to come into Eretz Canaan. They're yet to become familiar with their culture. So therefore, these are the two cultures that they're familiar with. Therefore, it's a similar warning. And of course, other cultures that you do not know from don't get involved whatsoever. That is, of course, the simple answer. Rav Shwab Barabik has a very interesting approach. He explains that Mitzrayim, you study Chazal, you will discover that Mitzrayim, they were known to be extremely arrogant. What's the word? Rahav. Eretz Mitzrayim is the pasuk in Tehillim. We remember the pasuk by heart. The Yoishev in Rahav. They sit with arrogance. It's in a few places, this concept. The people of Egypt were people who lived, they were arrogant people. Eretz Canaan. Canaan came from the curse of the curse of Noach. Noach cursed his... Eved Avodim. Canaan will be cursed as being a slave. What is the essence of a slave? You have no life of your own. You are nothing. A slave has no identity. You are you're nothing. Life does not mean anything. You're only here to serve someone else. You have no identity. Well, the Pasuk here is coming to address when a person lives his life, he has to find some middle ground. Don't live a life of gaiva. Just because you are the Am HaNivchar and you're Mekayim all the mitzvos and you're Talmidei Chachamim, don't let your success, your specialty, your uniqueness, don't let it go to your mind and be like an Egyptian. Kema'asei Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yishavtim Bo Lo Sasu. Don't live a life like the people of Egypt who thought that they are God's gift to the world, arrogant people. So what is a person's natural response? Oh, I'll go to the other extreme. If Hashem does not want me to be a Baal Gaiva, I'll live a life where life is meaningless. Life is nothing. Avda zilei pritzilei, life has no meaning. That's the life of Canaan. No, Hashem says, don't behave like the people who live in Canaan where life has no meaning. They just live impulse. They live to satisfy their base nature. You have to appreciate that there is something to life. Life does have merit. You have to find the balance. So these two different extremes represent not just the abominations, the culture, the type of things that they did, but it represents an outlook towards life. Don't live with midos. Don't live with gaiva. And don't be too humble. Live your life to the utmost, but in perspective of your purpose in this world. Okay, in this week's parasha, we learn about the Seder Avod of Yom HaKippurim. The following idea caught my attention. There's a Zohar that addresses why we send a Soir La'azazel. Okay, now I'm not a gematria man, you know that, I hardly tell you any gematrias. But what is the gematria of the word of a Soir? Soir. We send a Soir La'azazel, yeah. 500. Sin and Resh, 500. Ayin Yud, 80. 580. Let's go to Parshas Vayetze. Parshas Vayetze, Yaakov Avinu was informed that Parshas Vayishlach was informed that he's about to meet his brother Esav. Esav is coming to greet him with 400 men. Vayiro Yaakov, Vayetze lo. Yaakov was terrified. So Yaakov prepared to meet his brother, and one of the things he did was he sent him a gift. Let me read you the Pasuk. How the Pasuk presents his gift. Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim El Esav Achiv. He divided his camp. Oh, you have all the numbers. Very good. So we're going to add up all the numbers. And what are we going to have? Vayolin Shomalaila Huvaikach Minhabov Yado Minchol Esavachin. Yaakov sends a gift to Esav. Who is Esav? Esav is Ish Soyer. Esav is a hairy man. Soyer means a goat, but also means Ish, a hairy person. And Esav, they dwelt in the land of Seir. Everything about Esav all focuses on the word Soyer. What are the numbers? So you count the numbers. I don't do math. Izimosayim. How many goats? 200. So you keep track. Usi Yoshim, he goats Esrim, 220. Rechelim Osayim, female goats, 200. Ve'elim Esrim. So what are we up to? 440. Gimalim Meinikos Uvnehem Shloshim, 440 plus 470. Paros Arboim, 510. Uforim Asara, 520. Asonos Esrim, 540. Vayorim Asara, 550. What happened to the numbers? Wait a minute, I miscounted. This is Zohar, so this can't be wrong. Okay, I have to go back to the videotape. Okay, I have to go back to this. This is Zohar. Zohar counts it. I just should have. What's going on here? I have to go back and count it again. Okay, we have to count it again. You have to trust me for now. Never trust me. But seemingly the Zohar says that the number of animals that he sent was exactly equal to the word Soir. 580. So you have to go back. I don't know. I really don't know the answer. I should have counted before I came here and figured out what's going on here. But the idea I want to present is that it's a very, the avod of Yom Kippur is a very strange avod. What's going on? We bring korbanos, we bring a sol azazel, you throw an animal off the cliff, and in addition, the part of the avoda, the tie, this really comes to tying minutes of the zeal, is that when the Kohen Gadol left the Kodesh HaKadoshim in between the two and the Amitraxim, he was mispalel tefila ketzara. The tefila ketzara was there should be for Mashiach, the Malchus Beit David, and v'lo yitzarchu Yisrael zemizid. There's a long list of tefilas. He very very significant what he was mispalel for. In addition to the tefillah, he also brought the set of korbanos. The korbanos are, that's part of the avod, the par and the soyer and the musafim. And then there is this very bizarre thing called the sor la'azazel. So it's very interesting that now that the Zohar has awakened us to explain that when Yaakov Avi, when Klal Yisrael sends a sor la'azazel, what they're really doing is they are reenacting the mincha that Yaakov Avinu sent Esav. Okay, you have to figure out the calculation. The Zohar says there's a direct correlation between the Soyer la'azazel and the mincha that Yaakov Avinu sent to Esav. Esav represents Soyer. On Yom Kippur, we're being mechaper, atoning for the sins that we have committed. The sins that we have committed are not shaykh to us. All of these are various. This is the domain of Esav. Esav does not have the Torah. Esav can do whatever they want. They can do all these things. That's all they're doing. And when we, chas v'shalom, do an Avera, we unfortunately are copying their behavior. We have been influenced by Esav. On Yom Kippur, we're giving back to Esav what we took from them illegally. We were influenced by them. We followed in their ways. We committed Averos. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. These type of actions are something that Hashem gave to Esav to do. So we're giving, by sending the sor la'azazel, in essence, we're giving a mincha, we're giving a gift back to Esav, what really belongs to you. Because Esav is synonymous with the Soher, Ser, Sor la'azazel, it's the Yetzahara, they all go together.
Similar to the Ramban's idea of a bribe to the
Son. Okay, that's a different idea. That's a bribe. No. This is a gift. He's not calling it a bribe, he's calling it a gift. He's giving over here. So, but what I want to suggest is, being that the Zohar himself makes this connection between Yaakov meeting Esav and giving him the gift with regard to Sor la'azazel, it's very true that perhaps, the other things that we do on Yom Kippur also correspond to the Pegish of Yaakov and Esav. Rashi is very clear, it says that Yaakov, he was frightened. What was he frightened? Shema Yigroi Machet. Although Hashem promised Yaakov Avinu, I'm going to give you Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to give you children, you're going to have enormous bracha, But who knows? Maybe when I was in the home of love for 20 years, I did Averos, Shema Yigum Achet. That's exactly what we do on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, we focus on Chet, on sin. Chatasi Avisi Pashati. And how did Yaakov Avinu prepare for this meeting of Esav? Rashi says three things. Number one, Milchama, war. He divided the camp, he prepared for war. Number two, he sent a mincha, diplomacy. You send a gift. Number three, tefillah. So perhaps we can suggest that's exactly what we do in Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is exactly the same thing. We have tefillah. The Kohen Gadol is mispalel outside the Kodesh HaKadosh with tefillah katsara. And this tefillah katsara, it's alluded to the pasuk in the Targum Yonasan, and Zil himself actually says this is not just an addition. It's part of the mesorah. The Kohen Gadol must be mispalel tefillah katsara in the Beis HaChitzoin, and the korbanos represent milchama. Because the kibbonos is mesiras nefesh. What do you do when you go to milchama? When you go to war, you give up your life. You're willing to put your life on the line for the cause that you believe in. A karbon is the loss of life, the giving up of life, that is a replacement for our lives. Bringing karbonos is an atonement because it is an expression, we're willing to be moiser nefesh for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're willing to give up our lives. When Rabban says, when a person brings a karbon, he's supposed to imagine, I deserve to die. I have committed an avera. I deserve to give up my life for the cause. So instead, we're going to have an animal. It's a korban. It's not for nothing that we say when there is a war, there are korbanos. There are korbanos. Korbanos represents the concept of milchama. And we have the second concept, tefillah. And the sor lazazel is the doiron, is the gift that Yaakov Avinu sent to Esav. So the idea I'm trying to bring out is that there is a makor for the avod of Yom HaKippurim. The makar of the avod of Yom HaKippurim is when Yaakov Avinu met Esav. Yaakov Avinu was traveling home to go on his destination, to go back to Eretz Yisrael, and on the way he met Esav. He met Esav means he came to a point in time where he had to acknowledge that Shema Yigroim Hachet, maybe I have to make a cheshen hanefesh, and to prepare for this event, he had to do three things. We imitate Yaakov Avinu Yom HaKippurim with the avod of Yom HaKippurim, which involves three different parts: tefillah, milchama, and a mincha. So let's go to another idea. At the Seder, we dip our finger in the Kishol Yayin how many times? 16 times. 16 times. We dip the 10 makos. Then we dip again Datzach Hadash B'Achav, and then Dom Vo'esh V'Simros Oshan. Total of 16 times. This week's parsha, we learned the Avodah Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol goes Lefnai V'Lefnim, and the Baal HaTurim says something very, let me try to read the Paltim where I could find the Baal HaTurim. It's a very long Baal HaTurim, and he talks about all the things that we do in the Avodah. In the wrong parsha, give me 1 second please. All the different parts of the Avodah. And the Baal HaTurim says that the sprinkling, you know, achas lamala, sheva lamata, damapar, damasoyer. You can break up the numbers of how many times you sprinkle in many different ways. You sprinkle from the dam hapar 8 times, achas lamala, sheva lamata, towards the kapayres, towards the kodesh, towards the aron, and then you do the same thing for with the dam hasar. You repeat this process on the paroches, and you repeat this process a little bit differently on the mizbeach hazav. So let me read the words of the Rambah, how the Baal HaTurim divides up all the various sprinklings. He says, Loma mazeh, achas, why do you do sprinkling? Let's jump, that's not the part I need. Let's go further down. And then he says here, Sheish Esrei Hazos Al HaKapayres. 16. 2 times 8 on the Kapayres. When you go into the Kodesh HaKadosh and you sprinkle blood, you sprinkle 16 sprinklings. The Dam HaPar and the Dam HaSoyer. 8 and 8. And then why? Kineged Sheish Esrei Briso Shenichesu B'Sinai. Because at Sinai, there's a Chazal, not to go into the details now, Hashem made with us 16 treaties, 16 brisos, covenants. 16 covenants were made at Har Sinai when Hashem gave us the Torah. Next, the sheish esrei ka'ala parochas, you sprinkle another 16 times when you're standing in the oil moed towards the parochas between the kodesh and the kodashim, k'neged sheish esrei sheba oil moed, k'neged the 16 berisos, the 16 covenants, Hashem with Klal Yisrael, we're in the ohel moed. The sheish esrei al mizbech hazav, another 16 times you sprinkle, this is not so similar to what it means, but he makes this calculation that there was 16 times in the first Mephapel, how you have 16 times on the mizbech hazav, another 16 times on the mizbech hazav. Zav, Kineged, the 16 brisos Hashem made in Arvoy Smoav when Moshe by Mishneh Torah. So what he's basically saying is that Hashem gave us the Torah three times. Chazaka, three times. Achut HaMeshulash Loi, the Meheri Yinotek. Har Sinai, Oy Halmoed, and Arvoy Smoav. And each one of these giving transmissions of the Torah was accompanied with 16 brisos. When the Kohen Gadol goes the Fnai v'Lefnim to Machav v'Klal Yisrael, it's in the Zuchus HaTorah. That's the essence of the Baal HaTurim. It's Yom HaKippurim, it's a serious day, we need Kapara, we need Zuchusim, the ultimate Zuchus is the Zuchus HaTorah. You sprinkle 16 times, three times, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, on the Peroches, on the Mizbeach HaZov, 16, 16, 16, to remind us of the three times Hashem gave us the Torah, Har Sinai, Ohel Moed, in the Midbar, when Hashem Moshe taught us the entire Torah, and Arvus Moav, 16, 16, 16. Perhaps we can see al-Derech Josh, that at the Haggadah, at the Seder, when we're focusing on Yitzias Mitzrayim, we sprinkle 16. You're not just pouring blood out of, wine out of the cup. The yayin has to be red. Why must the yayin be red? A zecher for the dam. The wine must be red. So when you're spilling out blood with your index finger, your pinky, you pour, what are you really doing? You're acting like the Kohen Gadol, and you're doing 16 hazos. And what are the 16 hazos k'neged? K'neged, the brisos of the Torah. What was the tafkid of Yitzias Mitzrayim? When Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, what's the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim? Tavdun es Elokim al Ohor Hazeh. The tafkid, the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the goal is Kabbalah Satorah. We start Sfira, the night of the Seder. We start Sfira. The tafkid is Kabbalah Satorah. So when you sprinkle, when you take blood, you take yayin out of the kosher yayin, it's k'neged, the 16 hazos of... It's a similar concept. It's a similar. You can't say not 16 times that you sprinkled in each part of the Beis Hamikdash, and that only was to remind us of the Torah. The purpose of the Makos and the purpose of the Geula was all for one goal. The goal is Kabbalah Satorah. Okay, let's go.
Was Hakadosh Baruch Hu's name also written without the Yud, and that would be 16?
Is Hashem's name also written Yud Vav? Yudvav, Yudke, I saw that somewhere. There's some kind of Kabbalistic, I'm not familiar with that. There is some.
Can we learn one time different names on Kodesh Baruch Hu?
There are such things, I'm not familiar. There are such Mepharish that learn that number 16 is the name of Kodesh Baruch Hu. I'm not familiar with it. Okay, good. This is just, I think it was simpler Jewish. 16, it's not a coincidence. 16, 16. Now let's go to another idea. Okay, this idea, I always wondered about this. This is something very, very strange. We learn all the time about Kachim, the Beis Hamikdash. There's something very strange that we do on Yom HaKippurim. The Kohen Gadol enters the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the last thing he does is, after he brings the Musaf and he's dressed in the Big Day Shmoina, he takes off the Big Day Shmoina, goes to Mikvah, Kiddush Yudayim V'Raglayim twice, puts on Big Day Lavan, to go once again to the Kodesh HaKadoshim to retrieve the Kafa Machta. When the Kohen Gadol, the first thing he does in the Avodah is he brings Ketores inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He brings in, the Ketores involves two parts. He has to bring in a shovel full of coals, and he has to bring in a bowl full of Ketores. And it was very difficult. How do you only have two hands? If you only have two hands, how do you get into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Use your teeth, use your elbow, Tzuksugim, Saftayoma, how he's able to pull off this fascinating feat. But this is the first thing that he does. He offers Ketores inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. After the smoke is rising on the shovel, he leaves the bowl there. Leave it there. The shovel is there. The shovel of coal is on the floor, and the bowl doesn't have any use for the bowl, and he leaves it there. Leaves it on the floor. And he leaves. He comes back later, a second time, Damapar. Now you would think when he comes back from the Dava Par, L'chor, he can take out with him already on the way out, he can take out the bowl and the shovel. No, he leaves it there. He comes in the Dama Sawyer, he does his thing. He could very easily at this point in time take out the shovel and the bowl. But he chooses to leave it inside. Now what would you, if you were formulating the Avoda, you would not find it necessary for the Kohen Gadol to come in at the end of the day to make a special trip to come in to change clothing just to take out the shovel and the bowl. In fact, I don't think there's any precedent for such a thing. All of the Avoda we have in the Beis HaMikdash, where do you have such a thing where cleaning up with the retrieval of the kelim? One thing, the Chumas HaDeshen, you're taking off the ash. Hatalas HaNeros, you're preparing the menorah. Where do you have such a thing where part of the avoda is to go to the Kodesh HaKodashim to retrieve the kelim, to retrieve the tools? This can be done tomorrow, the next day. It can be done by a non-Kohen. They go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to make repairs. Maybe they would attach ropes to the kelim and they can pull it out at another point in time. Why is this thing so prominent? It's part of the avoda to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to retrieve a kaf and a macht. It's bizarre. And to make things even more bizarre, in the parasha, the source for this halacha, I'll read you what it says in Rashi, Pasuk Chav Gimel, the beginning of the Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Chav Gimel, Uvo Aharon El Ohel Moed, Omru Raboseinu. This Pasuk teaches us the concept of going back into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to retrieve the Kaf HaMachdeh. She'ein Ze Mikoimoi Shel Mikra Ze. This Pasuk is out of order. The entire sequence of events is perfect. Everything in the parsha is perfectly in order, is in sequence, except this pasuk is out of order. Bizarre. It's a strange thing to begin with, and yet in addition to it being strange, the pasuk also put it in the wrong place. So there is a lot of this. There is a lot to discuss. There is a lot of Torah about this. It's a famous scroll. The Gemara says this is only on Yom Kippur, but if the Kohen Gadol will go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim the whole year round, he does the Avod of Yom Kippur, but he doesn't do this thing. This thing was only done once a year. All right, that could not to
so
go
when
there.
They pick out the plate.
What do you mean the Kaf HaMachta?
The macht they took out only the
no, both they took out both out.
The kaf also?
Both, yes, both. Kaf and the macht. At the end, at the very end, the last avoda is to get dressed again in the four godim, go to mikvah, kiddush dem raglaim, to go to the kodesh rashim, to take out the kaf and macht. So I want to say a chiddush. I don't know what I'm saying is true. It could be total nonsense. But I want to say a chiddush. The chiddush I want to say is the ultimate klisharis. The ultimate utensil in this world is none other than a human being. A person is ofar min hu adama, with a little water, and lo and behold, you have over here a utensil. A person is kechoymer biyad hayoytzer. All the pitim of Yom HaKippurim, we describe how man is kechoymer biyad hayoytzer. A man is a kli sharis. A man is a utensil. Clay, water, fashioned with the Ruach Elokim, and we're here to serve. We're here to minister, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aaron's two children entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and they didn't come out. They died. And the parasha begins, Vaidar, the beginning of the Avod of Yom HaKippur, the Torah did not say this. Torah did not do over here. Parashas Achrimos begins the Seder of Yom Kippur. The pasuk would very easily could have began Bezos Yovei Aron El HaKodesh Befar Ben Bakar. There's no need for the parasha of Yom Kippur to begin with telling us about Acharimos Shnei Bnei Aron Bikarvasam Lufei Hashem Vayemusu. This is not necessary. This has been taught to us in very great detail in Parashas Shemini. Why is the pasuk Avod of Yom Kippur begin with this concept? So I want to suggest is that these two utensils going into the Kodesh HaKodashim is a reenactment, or is a reenactment of what happened in Parsha Shmini. In Parsha Shmini, what happened? They died. Noviu died. Vayichu v'nei Aaron v'aviv yishmach tosoi. Vayidu v'chem eish v'simul v'katoris v'yakrivu l'fnei Hashem eish zorah shalotziva Hashem oisam. This wasn't just a simple death. Their death was the sanctification, was the kapara for Klal Yisrael. Hu asher diber Hashem bikrovai ekodesh. Yom HaKippurim is a kapara. But Chazal tell us there's another type of kapara, which in many ways is even greater, nisas tzadikim. We have no idea what this means. We have no idea how this works. But there's such a thing that when a tzadik leaves this world, he finishes his tafkid in this world, that is the ultimate kapara for Klal Yisrael. Yom HaKippurim is a kapara for Klal Yisrael. But nisas tzadikim is even a greater kapara for Klal Yisrael. Yom HaKippurim, not only do we focus on kapara, the kapara of the avoda, we also ask Hashem to forgive us in the zuchus of tzaddikim who have left us in this world. Who were the ultimate tzaddikim, the first tzaddikim who left us that served as a kapara? Hu asher diber Hashem bikrovai ekodesh, Nadav Avihu. Nadav Avihu, when was this emphasized? Look at the words of the pasuk. Vayim Moshe, it's very interesting pasuk, very, very rare. One of the most rare words with trop in the entire Torah. I have no idea what this means significantly, but you know Pshagub Shanis. Vayikra Moshe el Mishoviel el Tzafon, Bnei Uziel Dod Aaron, Vayim Alehem, Kirvu, Se'u es Achechem Yes Pnei HaKodesh. The word Kirvu is unique. Is there any other word in the whole Torah? Two trops and one word?
Yes.
Like this? What's the other word? Where?
I can't do that.
Okay. But Kirvu, you have two trops and one word. You have a Ger Shayim and a Tlisha Ketana. And in fact, it's very strange. You have to reverse. Even though the Tlisha Ketana comes at the beginning, you have to read the Ger Shayim first and the Tlisha Ketana. But let me ask a very more simple question. What's the word Kirvu doing here altogether? The word Kirvu is superfluous. If the Pasuk would say, Vayikra Moshe el Mishael, V'yel el Tzafon, B'nei Uziel, Dod Aaron, V'yem Aleihem, Se'u es Acheichem, Me'eis Pnei HaKodesh. Carry them out. Just take them out. You wouldn't blink. Why does it say Kirvu? I want you to go close. I want you to enter. I want you to enter and to retrieve. I want a special bia, a special entrance to retrieve. Obviously, there's an avoda. The avoda here is, take note of the fact that these two tzaddikim are bringing atonement for Klal Yisrael, Hu Asher Dibra Hashem Bikrovai Ekodesh. And that's an avoda. It's an avoda for a person to recognize that in the zuchus of a tzaddik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the world is sanctified. Bikrovai Ekodesh. Kirvu. You have to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to become aware of this event. And then take them out. On Yom Kippur, that's what we're doing. A human being is the ultimate Kli Sharis. The Kafu Machta represents the Kli Sharis. They represent Nadav. What is a person's tafkid in this world? To give Hashem Nachas Ruach. What is Kitores? Kitores is Nachas Ruach. You always say you should have Nachas from your children. You want your children to offer Kitores. So your children, they are the Kafu Machta. So here, when they're going into the fourth avoda of the end of the day, after bringing all the korbanos and sending the sorel azazel and bringing all the musaf and all the zrika sadan, the avoda is not over. Yom Kippur is not over. The ultimate kapara comes when now we're going to focus on the death of Nadav Avihu. We're going to focus on Hu Asher Dibra Hashem Mikrovei HaKodesh in the Zuchus of the Tzadikim, Hashem will be sanctified. And to do that, we reenact what it says here, Kirvu, with the double drop. You go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Su'us Achechem Eis Pnei HaKodesh, El Michut Samachne, you take out the utensils, it's an avoda of Mikrovei HaKodesh.
When did they take out the
Machtos, Luchor, it doesn't say Luchor at the same time. Luchor at the same time when they took them out.
It was easier because when they moved,
they were still holding it.
Whenever they had to move the Mishkan, already was there.
All right, but it says they would. So this is the now. I want to take this a step further. What do we when the Seder is over? We eat Afikomen. What does Afikomen mean? Afikomen. The Gemara says Gav Kuf Yud Ches Masechta Pesachim Perek Arab Pesachim. It's a new chicken for two words. Afiku Moneh. take out the utensils, mana. And the Gemara there, what does it mean take out the utensils? It means that when they eat it, you have to eat the Karban Pesach in one bais, one chabura. Don't take your fork and knife. Don't take your condiments, your eating utensils to another location. You're not allowed to change locations. Or some say afikumane means take. It means that there's no dessert. This is the last thing after you eat the Karban Pesach. Take away the eating utensils. You should not by mistake mistakenly eat dessert, because the Pesach is a dessert. But the point is, the word afikumane, the Gemara clearly says it means afikumane. We have two holidays in front of us. Today is Shabbos Hagadol. We read about the Seder. But it's also Erev Pesach. It's also right before Pesach. What do we say? Ein maftirin achar ha-Pesach afikoimen. What do you tell the Chacham? There are two very holy days of the year. The only 2 days of the year we say Lashon Haba. Well, you say Lashon Haba B'Yushalayim. The proof is there are a lot of similarities. Lashon Haba B'Yushalayim after Yom HaKippurim and after Pesach. Both of them are obsessed with the number four. There are a lot of fours in Yom Kippur as well, and there are a lot of fours on Pesach. There's a lot of bezos yovay aron el hakodesh. The Rosh says mo havoy de hazos. There are the similarities. They are two very holy days, but the difference is on Yom Kippur, when we come close to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, it's in the zuchus of Hu Asher Diber Hashem Bikrovay Ekodesh. There's something called afikoman. We are afiku moneh. When the last avoda of the day is hoitzoas kafemachte, to retrieve the spoon and the shovel. Afiku moneh, which is mesamel, the death of Nadav Avihu Kirvu. Go close, focus on the death of tzaddikim, and the zechus of the tzaddikim, we are sanctified. On Pesach, that's not the avoda. You tell the child after we eat the Karban Pesach, ein maftirin. We don't conclude ein maftirin achar haPesach afikoyim al derech drush. You don't take out the utensils. Ein, we do not maftirin. We do not conclude achar haPesach after eating the Pesach with afikoyim, with removal of the utensils. The tafkid is to teach the children how to live al kiddush Hashem. Yom Kippur, we focus on ta'anu es nafsho seichem. Don't eat, don't drink, torture yourselves, afflict your souls. This is spirituality. We're focusing on a world of serving Hashem through death, so to speak. B'zuchus, nadav aviyu, b'zuchus of kedoshim, afiku moneh. That's not what you do on the Seder. The Seder is to teach the children how to live. V'igalta levincha b'ayom alhu le'mar. This is how you should serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ein maftirin achar ha-Pesach afikoymen. You don't conclude with taking out utensils with what you do on Yom Kippur. It's a different end of the day. It's to live, to learn how to be mekadesh al shem shemayim. To conclude with the drush, very short drush, we have in front of us two holidays. Yom Kippur, that's what it's all about this week. All about Yom Kippur. And then it's also Erev Pesach. We say every day in davening, the malachim, they ask each other. They ask each other that where is their kedusha? And the malachim say, kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Three times kadosh. Hashem tzivakos malachol aretz kivado. The malachim say among each other, the Kara Zel Zevi Omar, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. What do these three words mean? So the Targum, we say that we translate this every single day in the evening. The first Kadosh refers to Shemayim. It refers to heaven. It refers to Kadosh B'Shmei Meromo, Hashem is holy in his abode. The second Kadosh is Hashem is holy here in this world, Ovad Givurte. This world is the product of his actions. The mundane world, there is Kedusha in the Aretz. And the third Kadosh is Zman, in time. These three words, Kadosh, 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 really refer to Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippur, what happens? You enter into the holiest place in the world, Kodesh HaKadoshim, which really is a place that's Lumala Men HaMokon. That abode, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, is Keneged Olam Haba. It's Einim and Hamida. Everything there is Lamala, Lamala Miderech HaTeva. Who enters in there? Who enters there? The holiest person. The holiest person captures the concept of the Ovad Givurte. A Kohen Gadol is a product of the earth, but he is the holiest product of Hashem's earth. Man is Ofer Min Hu Adama, and he is holy, he has been transformed. He represents the second Kadosh. And when does the Kohen Gadol enter in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? He enters on Yom Kippur, the holiest day, Zman. So three times Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh corresponds to Yom Kippur. The holiest Makom, which is represents Olam Haba, the holiest man, which represents the sanctity of the ultimate sanctity of Olam Hazeh, during the holiest Zman, Yom HaKippurim, and Yom HaKippurim, the three come together, the Kora Zel Zev Yomar, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. But the Malachim say, very good, this holiness, Kadosh, 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 but Ayei Mekoyim Kivodah. Where's the current coming from? I know this holiness, this Yom Kippur, but where is the current? Where's the shurish? Baruch Hashem, Baruch Kvoid Hashem, Nimikoimoi. What's Nimikoimoi? It's when you sit down with your children at the Seder. Baruch Hamokoim, Baruchu. Baruch Shnos Antar Lamoishol Bitusha So Keneged Arboha Bonim Dibra Torah. You want to know the current of this Kedusha, Kadosh, 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 it lies in the Seder. Because the Seder begins when you sit down with the Arba Banim. The way we introduce the Arba Banim is Baruch HaMakom. This is the Kvod Hashem Mili Koimoi. So we have here this week, these two, the Kedusha becomes alive. We say Kedusha every day multiple times. Shachar, Smincha. We'd say it multiple times, but it's alive this Shabbos, because this Shabbos we're reading about Yom HaKippurim. We're reading about Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. But it's Shabbos HaGadol. And Shabbos HaGadol we read about the HaGadol, we prepare for Yom Tif. It's the higher level, Ayei Mekoyim Kivoydoi. Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimikoyimai. Have a wonderful Shabbos. On what did you drop?
On the, it's a poser and a munach. On
a poser and
a munach. On the, so pechach of a kato, so in Baichi.
Yeah.
You're all the malucha. So on the, it's a poser and a munach.
Aha.